Hi, I'm Brad Blaylock.
And I'm Brad McKeon, and welcome to the Brad Report. Warning. The Brad Report contains spoilers. This episode is brought to you by The Floor, something to stand on. The Brad Report can be found on Apple, Breaker, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Anchor, and Spotify. Please rate and review us 5 stars only. Make sure you subscribe. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at The Brad Report. And last week, we journeyed into Avengers Infinity War. And this week, we are switching universes to belly flop into the DC Cinematic Universe with the very controversial, highly anticipated, highly contested Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Highly. Just
lots of controversy and what's the word I'm looking for? Polarizing. It's a very polarizing movie and film and movement. So
movement.
It was a movement. Restore the Snyderverse. Right?
Movement's a big word.
Fan cause.
It's a movement in the same way that like QAnon is a movement.
Okay. Not a huge movement. In the nerd, make movies.
It's a bunch of crazy people all yelling the same thing.
Okay, that's hurtful. You know, that's just hurtful. That's not necessary at all. But anyways, all right, so let's get into the summary.
I'm just messing
around. Determined to ensure Superman's ultimate sacrifice was not in vain, Bruce Wayne aligns forces with Diana Prince, a.k.a. Wonder Woman, with plans to recruit a team of metahumans to protect the world from an approaching threat of catastrophic proportions. Now, getting into our themes, I'm going to pass it to you.
Not bad. I mean, I think the obvious theme of like any movie that involves multiple characters teaming up is that we are stronger together than we are apart, right?
Yeah, unity.
Right, whether it's Justice League or Lord of the Rings or Avengers, we are stronger together than we are apart, right? And Batman realizes he's not going to, in this movie, he realizes that, Steppenwolf has been sent by Darkseid to kind of prepare the way for Darkseid and his army to come and take over the world. And Batman is putting together a team because he realizes that he can't do this alone.
He doesn't have superpowers.
At all, right? He's just a guy in a suit. I'm trying to remember the exact quote, but I think he even says, I'm putting together a team to stop the end of the world or something like that.
Yeah.
Right, so he knows he can't do it. He knows he needs Aquaman. He needs Wonder Woman and the Flash and
Cyborg.
And eventually he knows we need Superman.
Yeah.
So you're stronger together.
Exactly. I have that same thing of unity and working together as a team because I think one thing that it always seems to come up in these hero movies, like you said, there always is a bit of tension because all of these people are so used to being strong and doing things on their own and not taking orders from anybody, right? Mm-hmm. So Aquaman's not used to doing things with the team. Neither is Barry, Cyborg, although he was like on a football team. Yeah. He's been isolated for a long time.
Yeah.
And Diana, she's been by herself for so long, you know, for however, like, almost 80, 90 years at that point, almost 100 years. And so then finding them to unite and work together as a team. Hmm. Almost exactly what you said.
Yeah, exactly. I think another theme of this movie is free will, right? So in this world or in this universe, you have an outside force trying to impose his will onto humankind, onto...
Yeah, anti-life.
The man race, right? You have Darkseid. I almost keep forgetting his name every time. Darkseid. You have Darkseid who is attempting to enforce his will, his anti-life, his destruction on people. And these humans and metahumans and half human, half machines.
Cyborgs.
Exercise their free will to fight back, right? And so it's kind of about this force versus the will of the people.
Yeah, that's really good because for the, you know, I've been watching Darkseid and animated TV shows probably since I was 10 or 8, right? And he always talks about this anti-life equation. I'm like, what in the world does that even mean? And only probably within the past year is like, oh, it means he can control people and tell them what to do. But yeah, exactly, is that they're using their choice to fight back and to unite together. My theme is, I have a theme of hope and faith, which really comes together, especially when you follow Batman Bruce Wayne's storyline, is, you know, where we last saw him in Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, he was so cynical, especially about Superman, so jaded that he was an enemy when he wasn't, you know. And there's a quote later on, it says, you know, Alfred, for once, I'm acting purely on faith, you know, in that having hope to believe that they're going to win. And they know they can't win without Superman, but at that point in the movie, they're going to fight without Superman.
Right.
And it was like, you know, he, and like Alfred the whole time is like, you can't win. He keeps telling him again and again, like, you are going to lose. Mm. Like, you can't fight this guy. He's too strong. And Bruce, Batman, again and again says, I have got to try because I believe that I should.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to see. And I don't know if I mentioned this in our last DC Universe podcast, but where you have an alien that shows a man, an alien that's Superman, that shows a man, Bruce Wayne, how to be human again.
Mm.
And where at the end of Batman v Superman, he's like, I failed him in life, I won't fail him in death. And how that really pushes into this movie is really cool about that, the hope and faith and optimism that Batman now has.
Yeah, that's true. My last theme is, I guess kind of more of a religious theme, but it's the power of resurrection over death.
Mm, that's a good one.
And so, you, like we said, the anti-life, right? So Darkseid's main goal is to, his main goal is to conquer, but he's been looking for this thing called the anti-life formula, which is essentially a formula to unlock the secrets of destroying life, it seems like.
Yeah.
Right? Is that
destroying life and destroying free will.
Yeah, yeah. Essentially.
So it's this weird, like, what does that even mean?
Right. So it's a thing.
It's a thing.
That helps him do bad things.
Correct.
To people.
It is a bad thing if a bad guy has it.
Or even a good guy has it. This doesn't sound like a thing anyone should
correct.
Have, right? It's like nuclear weapons, right? Like, does it really matter if a good guy has a nuclear weapon? No, it's still not good, right? That's still a lot of firepower there.
Yeah. But
so he's got this thing, right? Or he's looking for this thing. And what ultimately beats him is the fact that Superman is resurrected from the grave.
Yeah.
Superman is dead, and he's eventually resurrected. And that is the reason that death, or anti-life, is defeated through the power of resurrection.
Yeah. Ooh, that's really good. I like that.
Thanks. I thought it was...
Yeah.
I feel like you can't... Superman is... I actually just wrote a thesis on this, but...
Oh, nice.
All stories, I think, you don't really get to escape the whole, like, resurrection theme. Even if it's more...
The hero has to be defeated.
Even if it's more indirect and whatever, you can't really escape it. But Superman's... His story in general tends to be a lot more, like, directly...
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The last theme I have is fathers. And you really see the theme of fathers throughout this movie with Superman. You know, you get Jonathan Kent and Jor-El, you know, their voiceovers from Man of Steel when they're talking about, like, hey, what was he born to do? You know, his fathers and how they impacted him. And then Barry with his father in jail and how his whole purpose for why he's doing this is because he's trying to save his father from prison because he believes he was wrongly convicted. And then Victor with his father and the whole theme of, I was your father twice over. You know, I fathered you and then I brought you back with and turning you into this cyborg. And then you know, once again, like Arthur and his father, and he's like, at the end, he's like, you know, I'm going to go see my father. And even Bruce Wayne, like, why is Bruce Wayne the way he is? Because his father, you know, was killed when he was a boy. So I just see the theme of fatherhood throughout this. It's very, very prevalent in just how that keeps coming up and with how the characters were formed and shaped and still impacts them throughout the movie.
Yeah, that's good. The relationship between Victor and Silas Stone is an interesting one.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't, you know, Victor's not super grateful about his resurrection.
No, not at all. Yeah, there's another resurrection, you know, that
that's true.
He was dead, and then, like, especially in the graveyard scene, we got a variety of graveyard scenes in the movie.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so before we get into storytelling, we're going to do a brief little section kind of talking about how this movie came to be.
Yeah.
Because originally...
You want to just give like a rundown of the kind of timeline of this, the history of it?
Yeah, so I don't have a strict timeline, but basically... In 2017, or sometime 2016, 2017, Zack Snyder was making this movie. Mm-hmm. He was almost done, and his daughter, his adoptive daughter, committed suicide.
Right.
And very heartbreaking, very sad. And so he's trying to be there for his family, but also finish this movie. And according to him, and reports that he was like 95% finished with shooting it. When he eventually stepped down, because Warner Brothers was keep coming in and badgering him, and he was having to fight tooth and nail to keep his vision and keep his movie the way that he wanted to. And he just got to the point where he was probably exhausted. He was still mourning for his daughter. And he said, you know what? I don't want to put up with this anymore. My family needs me right now. So he stepped down. Warner Brothers hired Joss Whedon, and they reshot and recut a ton of the movie. And when it came out in 2017, it was terrible.
Yeah, it was awful.
It was awful. You know, Henry Cavill, because he was filming Mission Impossible, they didn't want him to shave his mustache. They tried to CGI over it. It looked awful. And it wasn't a good movie, it wasn't very fluid.
No.
And pretty soon after that, a fan somewhere said, hey, this doesn't seem like what Zack Snyder's style would have been. And so she said, you know, release the Snyder cut. And then after that, it kind of gained traction, gained momentum. And then eventually it got so much traction and momentum that during the pandemic, you know, people weren't working on movies when it first released. So Warner Brothers said, like, okay, they first said, okay, you can release your cut, but don't finish the computer graphics. And he says, like, I'm not going to do that. And then he got them to do it. So they released it with, we're working on it through 2020. They announced it, said, hey, we're releasing it. They only had to shoot one additional scene, which was the nightmare scene at the end, which he shot. Zack Snyder, they said, well, first of all, they said, don't shoot any additional scenes. He said, okay, I won't. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. He shot that additional scene in his driveway, which is really cool. And there's some other things with that, but they released it on HBO Max, went straight to streaming. And here's the thing is that they still haven't released reports on how well it did with streaming and viewership.
Sure.
So, which is very uncommon for movies. But anyways, they made this movie happen. And my next question for you, because we were on different sides of this for a long time. Did you believe there was a Snyder cut after Joss Whedon's Justice League came out in 2017?
Do I believe that this movie that we watched on HBO Max existed in 2017?
Not in its finished form, but like, do you think he had that plan? Like, he had all the shots that he needed?
No.
You don't think so?
No. No, I don't think he had this plan, this vision in 2017. No, I think the movie we got from Joss Whedon was more or less the movie that
he never saw originally. He never saw that movie.
I'm just saying, I don't think that I don't think the Snyder Cut existed until people on Twitter started saying, release the Snyder Cut.
I don't think so. Because people kept asking him, like, hey, in your version, did this happen? He was like, what are you talking about? Because Christopher Nolan saw the movie and he texted him and he said, don't ever see this movie. Doesn't matter at this point anyway.
So do you like... So I don't like that this happened in general, like the fans tweeting so much that the studio kind of caved and did it. I don't like that. That's horrible. That's awful.
But it was a bad movie.
Doesn't matter. That's awful. Should every time fans like want a change or something, like, and they just start tweeting enough, should studios just do whatever they want? Why don't we just like crowd surf how to write the next script? Or a Marvel movie, just put it on a Reddit channel.
Well, the Marvel subreddit. Movie doesn't need it. DC needs
just
help.
Okay, so for the next DC movie, just go to a DC subreddit and say, hey, you guys write the script. And just take a computer algorithm to make an amalgamation of all the comments, and there's your script.
See, I don't see it like that at all. I see that Zack Snyder, he had a vision. Warner Brothers wouldn't stop breathing down his neck about it. And Joss Whedon... Like another side note is that the guy who plays Cyborg, what's his name? Ray Fisher reported that like Joss Whedon was like being inappropriate,
right?
During the reshoots, and Warner Brothers came out and after the investigation said yes, his claims were validated. So there's that. And then, like, when people talk about Zack Snyder, they just talk about, like, how he's nice and he's a decent human being, you know? He's the nicest guy ever. And, yeah, I think that, you know, Warner Brothers kind of did him dirty. And, like, they kept trying to, like, say, like, hey. But, like, if the fans want something, like, if the fans want a movie, whether they want it or not, why would it be dumb to say like, oh, let's not make a movie that a bunch of people are going to see?
No, it's just that fans shouldn't have the power in this power dynamic.
But fans have always had that. If people go see a movie and buy a movie, that means the movie gets a sequel.
That's different. That's market supply and demand. This is mob, like... directing mob mentality.
Oh my gosh. Well, I think if you get enough people that are like, hey, if you make this movie, we'll watch it. Then how is that? I mean, I know there's not any money coming in for that, but like, it's sort of the same
thing. So it's like all the people now who are tweeting like about bringing Iron Man back and Marvel.
Not that many people are doing that.
But why shouldn't they? Why shouldn't their voice be heard? Because it's dumb to listen to them. Gosh. And their voice shouldn't be heard.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Anyways, all right, so what do you think? Another controversial part is the aspect ratio. So it looks more like a box because it was shot for IMAX. And so if you have a screen or a TV, there's some black bars on the side.
I'm gonna be honest.
Did that bother you?
I don't even know what aspect ratio 4.3 is.
It's IMAX. It looks like a square. It's more of a square than a rectangle.
What's the four mean? Is that width?
I don't know.
Length?
It's just like the ratio between the two. It's like a 4 to a 3 instead of like a longer aspect.
Instead of 4 to 4?
Oh my gosh.
No, what's a normal one?
So like a TV. If you look at a TV, the top is longer. So it's going to be longer aspect.
So 4 to 3 is abnormal.
Yes.
So what's normal? 5 to 3?
Oh my gosh. I'm making you look it up right now.
I mean, I don't know this stuff. I don't know.
Wide screen aspect ratio. 16:9. So the long side 16 is
to 9 16 is normal?
Compared to 9 on the side.
What a weird... I don't care.
So to all the people that were complaining and whining about you want to say get over it.
I just don't care. I'm sure it bothers some people, but But it's just not my.
Do you think it took away from the movie experience?
I don't think that took away from it.
Oh my gosh. Okay, this is going to get real bad. Real quick.
No.
All right. Well, we'll see. Okay, storytelling time. What good, bad Easter eggs, maybe? What was good about this movie?
You want to start?
Don't like that you want me to start, but yes. Okay, I'll start. First off, this movie, like many movies, it's visually stunning. You know, the visuals look amazing. And yeah, I'll start with that. Like, I think the computer graphics, you know, everything, the colors, the way that the frames are shot, you know, it just looks so, so good. Like, the action scenes look amazing. And yeah, I think that it's a really good story about humanity and what makes people human, and like these people that have suffered and been broken in a lot of different ways, and how they're all bringing their brokenness together in to unify themselves and to hope and believe despite all of the things that are stacked up against them and how jaded they are. They're like, okay, we can do this as a team. And because we will be better for it, and we have to be able to accomplish this, because if we don't, we're all going to lose.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a really good story about that. And it does such a better job of making that cohesive and come together well than Joss Whedon's cut did. Because, yeah.
Okay. So the first thing I have is pretty similar to that. But on the flip side, I think this cut does a much better job of articulating the story of Darkseid and Steppenwolf.
Oh, so much better.
Even like going back to like the first battle between Darkseid's forces and the heroes of Earth, which then are the Amazons, the Atlanteans, the humans, paired with the gods of
Green Lantern.
You know, you've got Green Lantern, you've got Zeus, Hermes, Ares, those gods. I thought that was really well done, and they connected it well. And I thought the Mother Box stuff made a lot more sense in this film than it did in the theatrical release.
Yeah. I think, just to say that, like, Darkseid looks so scary, and Steppenwolf, his motivation, and even like the way his computer graphics. Like, he looks so much better just as a monster than they tried to make him look as this kind of like weird person.
Yeah.
That is done so much better. And just like, why does he care so much about overtaking Earth? He's like, oh, he wants to go home. And like, that's such a more personal motivation. And like, it adds weight to that and it kind of makes you care about him a little bit. And he's like, he's intimidating and scary as well. And you actually like, oh, this is a bad guy. Like, he's dangerous, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I say another thing that this movie did well is I thought it did a good job of exploring Cyborg's character.
I think such a good job.
I think he has a really interesting story going from kind of football star who relies a lot on his physical body and his physical gifts to losing his physical body entirely, pretty much, except for I think he has his brain and his heart. I think those are the two.
His eye. Right side of his face.
But in terms of like internal organs, I think his brain and his heart are the two things that he still has, but he loses his body essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And the tension between him and his dad is really well done. I thought they did a good job with that.
Yeah. I thought that, Cyborg and Barry really kind of shine a lot better in this cut of the movie, just like you said. And even, you know, Barry having more conversations with his dad, it just seemed to go a lot better. And then his Barry's scene with Iris, where he's like trying to get, you show him trying to get all these jobs, and then you see him using those powers and Yeah, it was just like you connect with that character a lot more.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say that I thought the fights were pretty cool.
Yeah.
Anytime you're doing like a superhero movie or an action movie, like the fights need to look good. And I thought these did.
Yeah, the fights do look good. And yeah, I would agree with that. And also like this movie, for me, the humor landed a lot better.
Sure. And I'll add the Martian Manhunter cameo was nice. I like that.
That was cool. Cool little tie-in and cool lot of like leading up to the next one. If we get a next one. Well, Zack Snyder said all movies of the genre leave cliffhangers.
Right.
And so why would he do anything differently? Okay. Bad. What is bad about it? I'll go first. It is a bit long.
A bit?
It is a bit long.
A bit.
I said it is a bit long.
So to be clear, this movie is 4 hours and 2 minutes long. That's 242 minutes. That is longer than Avatar, Avengers Endgame, The Irishman, Dances with Wolves, Malcolm X, and Lawrence of Arabia.
But it's
and all of the Godfather movies.
But it is not longer than the Lord of the Rings extended editions, which I'm happy.
Extended edition, sure.
But I don't even watch the original editions anymore. I only watch the extended edition.
If this movie were released in theaters, it'd be tied for the longest major studio theatrical release in history. This movie is freaking long.
It's long, but it flows really well.
It's too long.
I liked it.
4 hours.
Like I said, it's a bit long.
No, it's not a bit long. It's 2 hours too long.
Then you would have missed so much.
They made two movies. This is ridiculous.
Okay, I get it. So, but I didn't mind it. Obviously, it's not ideal to sit and like, I was like, oh, 4 hours. Holy smokes. But for me, like knowing the story that I got, because it was able to take its time in certain.
It took its time.
Yeah. It took its time in certain spots. I was like, it's so much more satisfying for me. I know you feel differently.
I didn't say anything. I just said it's too long.
Okay.
So I agree.
All right. So given that it's too long, all right, granted that, but I think even if you were to cut parts, make parts a little tighter, so why couldn't we have gotten this story the first time around?
Sure.
That was one of the things. It's just like, because now it's like, I don't know if we'll get the story continued at all. That's kind of the frustrating thing, because for me, it would have had a very satisfying ending. For those people that can't tell, I enjoyed this movie a lot. And now it's at the point where, well, who knows if I'm ever going to see this continued, which that's frustrating.
Sure. Yeah. I'll say bad Aquaman and Arthur Curry. So I like Jason
Momoa.
I like him a lot, and I think he does a fine job. I just think they do his character kind of dirty in this movie. So in the in like comics and in some of the other like DC animated properties, Aquaman is not a pushover, even for Superman. So I was watching I'm working my way through like the DC animated movie universe, which is great, in the 52 timeline.
Oh yeah.
Have you seen any of those or?
Oh, they're on HBO Max.
They are on HBO.
Yeah. I've seen some of them. Yeah.
Have you seen Throne for Atlantis?
Yeah.
So in that movie, you have Arthur Curry, Aquaman fighting his brother. I can't remember his name.
Orin.
Anyway. Well, Orin fights Superman, and because the trident that he has is so powerful, he's able to kick Superman's butt, make him bleed. And he stabs him in the chest with the trident and pins him to the ground and electrocutes him. Because an Aquaman is like toe-to-toe with Superman, fighting-wise. And then in this movie, we got Aquaman, and he's like kind of strong.
Yeah.
You know, he just gets, and then when he like faces Superman, it's like
It's
not even a thing. It does, you know.
Yeah.
And so I feel like his character kind of gets as the kids say in video games, he gets nerfed a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that. And so, like, I think one of the things that Warner Brothers is, they don't have a proper understanding of, like, how strong Superman is and how strong Wonder Woman and Aquaman are.
Sure.
And how fast the Flash is, and able, like, he's faster than Superman, you know?
Right.
And because Superman can't go back in time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so Wonder Woman, so, like, Superman maybe has an edge on Wonder Woman and Aquaman, but they don't play it at all like that. So how in the world are you going to make somebody that's strong enough to fight him and make a movie about it, you know? So I totally understand that. And even Steppenwolf, like, he had no problem with him.
Mm.
But, yeah, so I agree with that. But as far as the character himself of Aquaman, I really enjoyed him. And one of his quotes later is just, you know, he makes some funny lines. He makes some funny quotes. And when Barry's trying on the hat and he's like, all right, option A. And he's like, definitely not A. And he's like, okay, option B. And he's like, let me see A again. Yeah. Like, that part's funny.
Oh, yeah, that's funny for sure.
But you just want them to give Aquaman the strength.
And Wonder Woman, too. It's like, they shouldn't be theoretically that far behind Superman. Like, he should be stronger, but it should be a fight. I don't know. Anyways,
yeah,
doesn't matter. I had something else to say. What was it? Do you remember what I was going to say?
I don't remember what you were going to say.
Talk about it.
Aquaman, Cyborg, The Flash, Wonder Woman, Alfred,
man,
Darkseid, Steppenwolf.
Oh, this is horrible radio.
Lois Lane. I'm naming all the things from the movie.
Part of this is because of the length, but for me, I mean, there were times where I was just bored.
Mm.
That could just be the length, and I maybe have a shorter attention span than I should, or I'm too used to, like, Twitter and stuff, and so my attention span is shrinking. Yeah. But there are times where I was like, man, I'd pause it just to see how much longer I had. Like, all right, 3 more hours to go. Okay, 2 more hours to go. Holy crap, another hour.
Yeah.
You know, so, I don't know. For me, there are times where I get a little antsy watching it.
I get that. Yeah. Yeah. Anything else?
We can move on.
Okay. Do you have any Easter eggs?
I don't. Do you? I figured you would for this.
So, the scientist that is in the lab, who's like the Asian scientist, that was going to be Zack Snyder's The Atom. So the superhero, The Atom, who's kind of like Ant-Man, he can shrink in size, but he can shrink down to like molecular scale without endangering himself. That was going to be the character who would play The Atom. That part's really cool. Originally at the end, as Martian Manhunter kind of like drops in at the end, Zack Snyder initially wanted to make that John Stewart, Green Lantern. Warner Brothers said no, and so he changed it.
Hmm.
But I think it makes sense to have Martian Manhunter because he shows up earlier in the movie, where we see him shapeshift for the first time. So I think it worked out well. Let's see. I'm trying to think. You know, the Superman resurrection scene, that's a callback to the comics. The reason why they killed him in the first place is because Superman wasn't as popular anymore. And then, so they kill him, and then Superman comics shot through the roof. And then they were like, well, I guess we got to bring him back to life now because he's super popular now. So that was really cool. Seems like every comic or TV show has a kill Superman scene with Doomsday. But yeah, that's mostly what I have. Do you want to do? All right. So let's go on to quotes and scenes. Okay. Do you have any quotes that you want to lead us off with?
Sure. There are 6, not 5. There is no us without him. This is Bruce Wayne speaking on the importance of having Superman, right? Like, he is the plan.
Yeah, he is the plan. Absolutely. First one is where Steppenwolf comes in as Amazons. I've come to bathe in your fear. And Queen Hippolyta says, daughters of Themyscira, show them your fear. And they all chant, we have no fear. And I was like, I got chills when that happened. I was like, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's a good one. This one is from Cyborg. And he says, I'm not broken. and I'm not alone. He finally kind of accepts who he is and what his situation in life is. It plays well.
Yeah, I had that one too. It was really good. You know, the one where Barry says, like, wait, what are your superpowers again?
Yeah.
And Bruce Wayne's, I'm rich.
It's so true.
This is superpowers.
It's so true. I saw somebody tweet one time that said something like, the only person who can defeat Batman is the IRS.
Seriously.
So this is from Bruce Wayne. He says, I don't care how many demons he's fought and how many hells, he's never fought us, not us united.
It's a good one. I like when Bruce Wayne takes the team to the Batcave for the first time. He says, everyone, this is Alfred. I work for him. And everyone's like, wow. And Arthur Aquaman's like, this is bad A, Alfred.
Yeah, that's good. Superman, just, I'm not impressed to Steppenwolf.
Yeah, that was really good. I'm not impressed. Another Alfred quote, he says, you fulfilled your promise, but you try to do that. And they're trying to resurrect Superman. He says, I mean, your guilt's overcome your reason. Not all the king's horses and all the king's men. And Bruce says, Alfred, for once I'm operating strictly on faith, not reason.
Yeah. One that I think was a really good line for Steppenwolf that kind of shows just how, I guess, how wicked and how strong he is in this version. Amazonian tells him, or maybe it was the Atlantean, whatever.
One of them.
One of the two not human races. You know, he's trying to essentially get them to tell him where the mother box is. And she's like, I won't do it. I won't tell you. And he says, you already have. Because he's used this like drone to hack mind. Into her brain.
Yeah. So the one, this is towards the end of the movie, and Desaad says, I told Steppenwolf would fail. And he says, yes, you did. My master, now that the mother boxes have been destroyed, how will you retrieve your great prize? He says, anti-life is found, Desaad, and we will stop at nothing to possess it. Ready the armada. We will use the old ways.
It's good.
Yeah.
This is a Barry Allen quote. He says, Wonder Woman, what do you think, man? Think she'd ever go for a younger guy?
And then Victor says, she's 5,000 years old, Barry. Everyone's a younger guy. My last quote is where, as at the Silas's speech at the end from the recording that Victor had broken previously in the movie, it says, now let me speak to you from the heart, not as a scientist, as a father. Huh, your father twice over. I brought you to the world and back to it. You can't imagine how proud I am of who you are, have always been. So many years with you I've wasted. So many wrongs I've left unrighted. Everything breaks, Victor. Everything changes. The world is hurt, broken, unexchangeable. The world's not fixed in the past, only the future. The not yet. The now. The now is you. Now. Now is your time, Victor, to rise. Do this. Be this. The man I never was. The hero that you are. Take your place among the brave ones, the ones that were, that are, that have yet to be. It's time to stand, fight, discover, heal, love, win. The time is now.
I'm done with quotes. If you have any more you want to share, if you want to go on
to... That's good. We'll go on to scenes.
You want to start?
Yep. So I think, as I said before, every scene that Cyborg has in this movie like is really, really good. Just from him helping, discovering his powers, his flight, from, you know, helping the woman that's run out of money, from burying the mother box, from resurrecting, picking it up, like burying it in his own place where he is supposed to be buried, you know, where he cries when his dad kind of like sacrifices himself to lead them to the other mother boxes. You know, it's all, everything that he does is really, really well done.
Yeah. So I've already mentioned this, but one of my favorite scenes is the Hero of Ages. So just the Dark Side and his forces fighting the heroes of Earth. The
Ares giving it to Dark Side.
Yeah. It's a great scene.
Yeah. So towards the climax of the movie where the heroes actually lose because Barry, his leg was hurt and he lost his charge. And so then going back in time, one, that scene is beautiful. Two, like just Barry kind of like motivating himself. And even before that, when he's losing, like he gets the wind knocked out of him and he's like almost to the point of crying because he's like, I messed up. Like,
yeah.
And then being able to do it, like, oh, it's so good. I love that scene.
It's a good one. I love the evil Superman scene.
Yeah.
So Superman is first.
He's first resurrected.
Yeah. He's first resurrected and he's not sure what's going on, who these people are. It takes him a little bit to come to, really.
Yeah.
And he just beats the crap out of the other heroes of the Justice League because he has no idea who they are. It's great.
Yeah. That's a really fun scene. I really like that one a lot too. Once they get the four or kind of like the five of them together with like Barry, Victor, Aquaman and Diana kind of interacting with Bruce, kind of being like the grumpy dad is kind of super fun. Superman coming back in the black suit and just being like, and fighting Steppenwolf. That one was a lot of fun. And yeah, that was cool. Do you have more?
No.
So I really liked the nightmare ending scene where I can tell by your face you didn't like it. So it's dystopian. It's where Darkseid's won. Superman was evil. And Batman's still fighting. And he's got this ragtag team of people. And he's coming to the Joker to ask him for help, essentially. And they have a really interesting conversation. And, yeah, it's really cool. So I like that scene a lot. Yeah. Just so because it shows Batman and the Joker in a context where we haven't often seen them.
Sure.
You know, because they have, out of all heroes and villains in pop culture, like...
They're inseparable. Yeah. Joker, you won't kill me. I'm your best friend.
Yep. So, I really like that one. Okay. Questions. So question number one is, which hero is the most useful in this movie?
I mean, Superman's the reason they win.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have Superman without Batman's idea.
But they or Cyborg or the Flash.
And they can't bring Superman. I mean, it's got to be the Flash.
Yeah.
So the Flash brings Superman back. And travels back in time.
To save the day.
So, it's a pretty good combination.
Yeah, pretty good combination. Yeah, I agree. So, who is the least useful? And I'll go ahead and answer, and I think it's your answer too, Aquaman.
Yeah, Aquaman.
Which is a bummer.
What's he doing?
Yeah, because he's a cool character.
He just gets his butt kicked.
Yeah, in the comics, like, they make him such a cool character.
Like,
In the TV shows too. He's a cool character.
The animated movies, he's great.
He's a really cool character.
But in this movie, he's there to get his butt kicked. I mean, he gets his butt kicked by Superman, by Steppenwolf, and it's just okay.
Yeah. I liked it when Wonder Woman was pulling on the rope to like kind of pull back Steppenwolf and Arthur just like jumps in and is like pulling too. I like that part. Although that's like
he's a
side character in this movie for sure. And with the movie with Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, and the Flash, and then you throw in Aquaman, and like Cyborg gets a ton of screen time, Aquaman gets the least screen time and least development in this movie.
For sure.
Okay. Who has the best performance in this movie?
I don't know. Who'd you say?
I think Ray Fisher.
Is that Cyborg?
Yeah. I think he's got the most weight to carry in terms of just kind of the somberness and making sure that really comes across in like the serious jadedness is either him or Ezra Miller as Barry Allen because
he can't run.
No, I mean, the running stuff is frustrating.
I mean, he really does. He really does look bad running.
Yeah.
which
I mean, but like,
which is kind of unfortunate.
I want to ask him, like, so what were you thinking when you chose to do this? Because I don't think that's how he normally runs.
So you think if I just like challenge him to a race,
I don't think he would.
You don't think he would look like that when he ran?
Correct.
Well, then that almost makes it worse.
I know. Which is it's so confusing. And you're just like, bro, like, study Usain Bolt. Like, I don't know what you wanted to study. Study yeah. sprinters.
Yeah.
Get in on a sprinting machine.
Yeah. It's just weird. It looks weird. He looks like he's doing the, like, Naruto thing. Have you seen, like, the
Naruto run? Where they're like, running with their arms behind them. Yeah. It's like, totally doesn't make sense how to run that way.
Yeah. No, not at all. I'll go Ray Fisher. That one makes sense. That's a good answer.
Yeah. Okay. So, next question is, do you want the rest of – you want this storyline completed and to fit into the DC universe?
So, here's what I'll say. Like, if they did complete this storyline, I would watch it.
Yeah.
It's not something that I'm super hopeful for, or even something that I would say, like, is like a top priority of, like, if I could snap my fingers and get three properties made or three properties started or whatever, or maybe even like five, like, it wouldn't make that list.
Really?
Oh
man.
But if it was made, I would watch it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It'd probably make my top three.
I don't think it'd make my five, honestly.
Yeah. That's okay.
Cause
I mean, neither of us have that power. Sure. So.
But like, if I do, like, like, I'm getting Red Rising, some stuff, and maybe Mistborn, and, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah. Red Rising would definitely be number one.
Oh, man, it needs something.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Come on, Pierce Brown. We believe in you. So for me, yes, I do want the rest of it. And from my understanding of, because Zack Snyder made the storyboards public for the remainder of the two movies. So you can go and, like, you can read them, you can look at them. It's public knowledge. And I think he sold them up for auction to raise money for suicide,
sure,
like, awareness. And one of the things is that in the way, because in that scene, like, Lois dies. And so in the timeline where they win is Bruce sacrifices himself and then Batman is dead. And I think that would have been cool to see for going forward because, you know, he was Batman and according to this universe for like 20 years.
Sure.
And seeing how that plays out. And I think you could get the rest of the movies like Suicide Squad, you know, Shazam, more Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Flash, Cyborg, all those things. And then having a world without Batman, what that would be like. I think that'd be cool.
Sure.
Okay. So for other movies, since we haven't done a DC movie in a long time.
We haven't.
Right now, this summer, we have The Suicide Squad by James Gunn.
Very excited for that.
The Batman by Matt Reeves, I think is coming out
next year. I think that's 2022.
Yeah. And then Shazam Fury of the Gods is filming right now. And I think that's coming out either
23, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm excited for all three of those.
Yeah, me too. Shazam, we saw Shazam.
I love Shazam.
Together.
That was fun.
Yeah. We're definitely going to go see Suicide Squad.
Yes.
And definitely going to go see Batman.
Yeah.
All of those things seem super, super fun.
But like, they're not all in the same universe, so it's kind of funky.
Yeah, the Batman one definitely isn't. I think my biggest takeaway from this is that Warner Brothers, for some reason, does not like Henry Cavill as Superman, which is a big bummer because I think he does a great job.
Sure.
Anyways. Okay. Overall reflections, final grade.
I don't like I don't love like the fan power of this movie, whatever, like Snyderverse, release the Snyder cut crap aside. I enjoy this movie. I gave it a B-. That's a good grade. I see you're kind of smirking.
Like, well, I thought, from your comments, I said an A is way too much to hope for. and I thought you were going to be in the B range. I thought you were going to be B, B minus.
Yeah, so it's like right on that border of B, B minus, whatever. So I mean, I enjoyed it, but certainly not making any like list of mine or whatever. But it was an enjoyable experience. And if they made more, which I don't know if that's happening, probably not. Yeah. But if they did, I would watch them.
Yeah, I mean, Discovery and Warner Brothers recently had a merger, so people are thinking, hey, maybe that opens up the door for Zack Snyder to complete this. Zack Snyder says, like, hey, honestly, like, I'm pretty sure they're done with me. But I always say, never say never.
Sure.
Yeah, I really like this movie. I enjoyed it a lot. Obviously, it's not perfect by any means. I gave it an A-. And one of the scenes that I even forgot to mention, like I've gone back and watched several times, probably my favorite scene is where Barry saves Iris. Mm. And that soft piano music is playing in the background. Like, it was a really like beautiful scene, and I thought it was powerful. And like he's seeing the woman who's going to be like the love of his life, and he's like saving her. But yeah, I liked, you know, I think there are certain times where in my life I'm like, okay, give it to me now. Like, I want the story to progress quickly. But also in certain things, I'm like, okay, I like that you took your time. But maybe he took a little too much time. But I gave him an A-. I really like it. I hope we see more. You know, we'll see.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for another episode of the Brad Report. We hope that you dug what you heard. We hope that you will like, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, follow us on social media. And until next time, love you 3000.